Welcome to Lunchtime Classics, broadcast live from our performance studio in downtown Louisville. Now, here's your host, Carol Larson.
Thank you very much. And good afternoon, and welcome to this Lunchtime Classics concert. We're in the performance studio here at Louisville Public Media, and we have a very special program today, I'm proud to announce, a piano recital by our own host of WUOL, Nada Lutfi. She's also our artist in residence here at WUOL. So really, she's got a wonderful program planned for us this afternoon, and I don't want to spend any more time on the microphone than I have to. So please do help me welcome our concert artist today, Nada Lutfi. And Nada will be right up to the microphone in just a moment. She's warming up her fingers, and she'll be right here. Yes, a warm welcome for pianist Nada Lutfi.
Hi, and thanks for coming today. The program I have for you, I don't know if you have a program note or not, but I'll just present each piece by itself. I don't know. Is this working? It's working, okay. And, well, we're going to start back in time. We're going to go back to just imagine, like, for example, the Louis XIV, the Sun King. We're going to go back in his time. The composer I will play first, his name is Jean-Philippe Rameau. He is the equal of Bach. We call him also sometimes the French Bach. However, he did not go to Paris, and he was sort of a modest man. He lived all his life in Dijon, which is kind of provincial, especially in this time. He went to Paris a few times, and he wrote a lot of music for the harpsichord, which is very particular, very much in the same style as Couperin, also Couperin le Grand, who was the harpsichordist of the time at Louis XIV's court. And Jean-Philippe Rameau's style is a little more maybe, strict in many ways. He was also a person who wrote a lot. He was a great theorician, and he wrote operas as well, and he became very, very famous late in his life. His harpsichord music is going to be very much in the French style as the Couperin, and sort of pre-announcing what Debussy will do in the impressionistic time in the 20th century. Debussy's music is always descriptive, always giving you some image of what is going to happen. Even some pieces are entitled images, pictures. And back in this time already, French style is going in this direction. Every little piece by Couperin has a title, and Rameau does the same. The piece I selected today has a funny title. It's called The Cyclops, and it's part of his first book of harpsichord. And actually, this piece in particular traveled a long way for that time just you cannot imagine that the piece will go all the way to China. This piece did go all the way to China at the time of Jean-Philippe Rameau. It was played there, and it looks like it was not a great success. However, you'll see it's really a fun piece. It uses double, of course, just imagine that at the time harpsichord had two keyboards. We don't have two keyboards, so we manage with only one keyboard here. And That's it. That's the first piece. We'll stay in the harpsichord, and I won't speak very much after the first one, because I'll go to Scarlatti and I'll play for you two short sonatas by Scarlatti. I'll just talk to you just a little after that one. So Jean-Philippe Rameau now, and this rondo entitled The Cyclops. Scarlatti sonata that I have for you, two Scarlatti sonatas. Now, who is Domenico Scarlatti? He is this, the son of Alessandro Scarlatti. We're also still in the Baroque time, the harpsichord. And Alessandro Scarlatti, who remained in Italy and wrote a lot of opera, Domenico, his son, left and went to Spain. And his music really reflects the light of Spain. It is very famous, those very short sonata. They're all full of light and sun at the same time. They just switch so much between moods. They're incredible. We're going to hear first the toccata in D minor, which is one of the most popular one. And I want to think in this piece that Carletti was very influenced by the guitar of Spain, you know, playing on the street. And he somehow takes the repeated note, which is weird on a harpsichord, but he uses it completely in that piece. And the second one is just another one of those wonderful, full of light and spirit sonatas in G major. So the first one in minor, the second in G major. So two short sonatas by Scarlatti now.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have very few people today, so that's why you hear just a few applause here. But thank you for coming and for listening. Right now, we'll do a jump in time and we'll go to the Romantic era and to a composer you probably know already, you've heard. His name is Frédéric Chopin. And he's one of the composers that everybody loves, if you love the piano, because he wrote so much for the piano. He was a great pianist himself. Now, Frédéric Chopin, when he was young, if you know a bit about him, he was originally French from his father, Chopin, but he was born in Warsaw, in Poland, and that's really the country that remained the country of his heart. And he was then a very brilliant pianist, very young, yet 16, maybe 15, 16, and already very much of a dandy. He remained a dandy all his life. He loved being an aristocrat. When even he went to Paris, he was invited by the greatest people there, and he was always frequenting salons. So in this case, the piece I will play, which is a rondo, it's his first piece published, Opus 1, and it's already so much Chopin because it's very elegant writing, and you can hear already the great personality coming through, but nevertheless, it's kind of a light piece. It's really a piece that you can figure this young man going in salons and trying to show off his virtuosity and being in the taste of the time. He loved opera, and you're going to hear quite a bit of influence of opera here in the two central sections of this piece, which is in the key of C minor, his Opus 1, the first published piece by Frédéric Chopin.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, after Chopin, we're going to go to Schubert now, Franz Schubert. And this is going to be the last movement of his first sonata, first piano sonata. We say first, but with Schubert it's difficult to know because most of his works were not published during his lifetime. Schubert the Bohemian, Schubert was not known then. So, but it is a young piece. It's a piece that he wrote early, and just imagine him here. Probably this music was set for some Schubert's yard, because Schubert had friends and he played music with his friends at night. That's really how his music was known at the time. And he was, of course, the master of the lieder, the master of the song. In this piece in particular, you'll see that he uses a lot the silence and the contrast in those moments are very sharp. As usual, I find in Schubert, there's always a note of tragic, even though this is a very simple piece, very simple themes. And it's almost like he's trying to surprise his audience at many points. He goes, of course, from the major or the minor, which is typical of his music. And we're going to listen to this now, which is in the key of A minor, the last movement of his first sonata in A minor. Thank you. Now, from this piece that was conceived, obviously, for a small audience, it's full of surprise. We're remaining still in the salon type of music with the Chopin, with this piece, and with the first harpsichordist. And we're going to remain again with Gabriel Fauré now as we go to one of his barcarolles. This is the second of the barcarolles, sort of an early piece, but yet so particular with the harmony of Fauré's that are so special. You know that at the Paris Conservatory, Fauré is one of the styles that you study as a harmony style. So he really had his own style of harmony. And one thing about Fauré, and you'll notice in his music, he was a man that was loved by everybody. He became a teacher at the Paris Conservatory, and he became finally a director there. He started his career being a pianist in the salon, the Parisian salons, a little bit like Chopin. His style is a little Chopinistic in this way. And he was just a wonderful man, apparently, really loved. And you can hear that in his music. I think it's just so open and so particular to him. The barcarolle that I will play, as all the barcarolle do, barcarolle is coming from Italy, from Venice. It's this famous tune, this famous song that is always written in a Turner rhythm. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So you can feel that song coming from Venice was probably written this way because you're being balanced on the waves, right? So you feel it in that music. Now, just imagine Fauré here. He's in a salon and he's playing his music. He's trying to get known his career. He's writing the most beautiful music for the piano. Okay, now we come to the end of this program, and this is going to be a bit of a change here with this music. This actually probably is maybe the only piece that is conceived maybe for a larger piece, a larger place than a salon. And it's not on purpose, it's just because at the time the music that is written is kind of abstract. The message is larger. The message is not only to be pretty. It's a big message, especially, well, the composer is Sergei Prokofiev. It's, well, later on, it's going to be a message of war in his piano sonatas. So evidently the writing is big. And this one that I selected, which is only in one movement, it's short. And it's already very much Prokofiev. His music has the ability to take you very quickly from one emotion to another very quickly. In this way, he's almost the equivalent of Mozart, where Mozart also has those switches of expression. So much Prokofiev is like that. And this particular sonata is so-called, this is the number 3, after notebooks, old notebooks. So we wonder that maybe actually he put it together after a while and working on some notes that he had. That's why it's called the number 3 after old notebooks. And it's only in one movement. So he probably patched all the movements together and kind of made one sonata, one piece out of it. So here it is now, the sonata number 3 by Sergei Prokofiev.
Thank you.
thank you. I guess that's the end. Thank you, Carol. And thank you for coming.
Thank you, Nada, so much for sharing with us your wonderful talent this afternoon. Pianist Nada Lutfi in recital here at the Louisville Public Media, our featured performer today on Lunchtime Classics. Thank you and good afternoon.